Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for another episode of the PHNX Suns podcast brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's number one sportsbook app. Don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a five-star review. I'm Lindsay Smith, here with Gerald Bourget. Saul was around here at one point in time. Jay's asking in the chat, Saul, where you at? Hey, Saul, how's it going?
Oh, okay. Are you good?
Oh yeah, I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you happy to be here?
I am.
Have you spoken to Lindsay?
I know. Lindsay and I haven't talked since game seven.
Oh.
But I haven't talked to a lot of people. I haven't talked to Sean. I haven't talked to Emma. You know, so yeah.
Did you just feel like we needed a break?
I don't know who that is. And that's the kind of stupid shit we have to deal with today.
I
think my favorite comment so far is Gaines being like, Saul drinking water, lol, no way, as if that's not apple juice. That's which makes it even better.
Oh my goodness.
Fantastic. Welcome in, everybody. Saul's here officially. Join the show because we've got a lot more drama to talk about. Yep. That came from day one of the Phoenix Suns training camp. Like, y'all, the amount of like soap opera level BS that we are dealing with right now is on another level.
Man, I didn't think anything was going to top the summer. Nope. And now here we are. And it's just going to another level. Oh, man.
Day one. We can't have nice things.
It's been zero days
since the last dumpster fire incident here.
Charles, you were right. I got to use a coaster on the new furniture.
Jacob loved that.
Okay, well, let's get into it. So day one of training camp, and after things kind of wrapped up, we got to hear from some of the players and Coach Monty. And the first player we spoke to was DA. And I'll be honest, as I was watching this live, his first answer to the question, the very first question he was asked, it was a much more thoughtful type of answer than what we saw yesterday, or at least there was more substance to it. It was a couple sentences long. He was giving legitimate answers. And I was like, okay, this is more in line with the typical DA that we get majority of the time when he speaks with media.
Yeah.
And then it just took a hard left turn.
Mm-hmm. It felt like he was still kind of putting on that business approach, that straight-faced approach at the start. But as we started to talk to him a little bit more and ask him about his diet over the summer, he was talking about a new diet. He started cracking a smile a little bit.
Joking about not eating Mexican food and carne asada French fries every day.
Right.
Like, I was like, okay.
We were this close to getting DA to just kind of bust out of the shell that he's been in the last couple times we've talked to him. And then somebody asked a question about whether he's talked to Monty since game seven. And this is what we got.
How have you and Monty kind of been able to move?
I haven't spoken to Monty. No, I haven't spoken to him at all. Ever since the game.
So not even.
No.
Oh, but that change is really good. So?
I'm here.
Are you happy to be here, DA?
Yeah, I'm alright. When I'm in between those lines now, I just work. You know, I'm not playing for myself, you know. I have an organization across my chest, and a name on my back I have to represent. I'm just here to work.
If you could talk to Monty, what would you want to talk to him about? What would you want to tell him?
Huh?
Well, if you could talk to Monty, what would you want to talk to him about? What would you want to tell him?
I can show him better than I can tell him.
So when I was watching this live, I was waiting for the little tiny smile out of the corner of his like mouth. Like, I thought he was being playful with us again and was about to be like, oh, I'm just kidding, we're fine. Like, just to poke fun at the narratives that were out there. And when it didn't come and it got really awkward and uncomfortable, I was like, oh.
I,
I feel like this. I feel like some feelings were hurt during contract negotiations about his value to this team and the value of other players compared. And I don't think it's sitting well with DA whatsoever. And I think when he finishes off this by saying I could show him better than I could tell him, I think he, man, I hope that he's out to prove a point this year and make sure everybody knows that he's a top tier player in this league, because I have never, and I've been around this guy for 6 years, I have never seen this side of him, ever.
Like, to say that about your coach, like, we haven't talked.
It's and be been, so fast with it, too.
Yeah, and just cut, like,
no.
Anything? Nope,
no.
Not at all. Like, I'm like, oh, my God. 4.5 months it's been.
Man.
Like, and I get it, because, you know, we'll get into what Monty had to say in response to this, but, like, given the way that things ended in Game 7, given all the narratives, all the buzz, all of the speculation on the outside, I understand that these guys want to tune all of that out and just focus on what they do, because that's how this media machine works, unfortunately. But, like, when we're asking a simple question like that and that's the response we're getting, yeah, we are going to think that there is a problem, and it's not something, to this point, it's been underplayed. And in over the summer, DA said that their relationship was calm. That didn't seem calm. That seemed like there's some lingering resentment there about things that have not been nipped in the bud.
I don't think that we're overreacting to this whatsoever.
No.
I think this is a legitimate feeling that DA is exuding. You can see the emotion on his face in terms of, like, he's just very stoic. And that's just not DA.
It's not.
Now, again, listen, like Musab Abdi in the chat says, how is this not Monty's fault? It absolutely is partially on Monty. I would say 80%, because he is the leader.
Yes.
He is the head coach of this team. And then the 20% has got to be DA in terms of his openness to have a conversation about some hard things to talk about. You know what I mean? And so as somebody that's been in kind of a leadership position from time to time, and you have to face things that sometimes you don't want to deal with, and you have to talk to personalities and people sometimes that you don't want to, because the topic might be too difficult to get to there. But in this instance, we're talking about basketball, and we need to get the fuck past it. And that's on Monty. That is absolutely on Monty as the leader of this team. Nobody's going to respect Monty if he doesn't step up and say and do the things that he's preaching. You have to talk to your center. He's disgruntled. He's unhappy. You got to make things right and get him to understand the bigger picture. The fact that you guys haven't even had a discussion since that Game 7 is, I can't even believe it.
Right. And he was brought in here to help fix the culture, to help. And he's talked at length about how he wants this to be a place where he feels like guys are comfortable coming forward and talking to him. Okay, everybody's different, though. And, like, if DA is not comfortable initiating that conversation, you've got to take it upon yourself and do that. And that is Monty. And I see a lot of people in the chat saying, you know, oh, he's tired of the bullshit. He's tired of answering the same questions. These are different questions. And, like,
nobody has spoken to DA since Game 7.
Yeah. Right.
Media, he has not been available to media literally since Game 7. There was no exit interview for us to talk to players. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All we got was Monty and James Jones. And somebody in the chat said, I'm sure Monty talked to him directly after Game 7. Literally the next day, Monty told us he didn't. So
it's not that. And they're like, I was willing to at media day consider, like, okay, maybe he is sick of what people in the media have been saying about him, the storylines, the headlines, all that. But, like, today he was opening up to us until it got to the subject of Monty. So, like, I don't think this is just a media thing. It could be partly a media thing, but I do think there's some lingering resentment there. And even as much as Monty tried to downplay it after the fact.
Yeah, so we did talk to Monty after we talked to the players. So we talked to DA, then we talked to Dario Saric, and then Monty. And of course, Monty was asked about the situation, and here was his response.
I talked to a bunch of our guys. As I said earlier this summer, like, they needed a break from me, the gym. Unless you were in the gym, like, every day, I've had interactions with everybody, but talking to guys about deep stuff, there's a number of guys I haven't talked to. I think when you've been around a group as much as we have the last 3 years, with the first year, the bubble, condensed seasons. I felt like guys needed a break. Even when guys were in the gym, I wouldn't come downstairs just because I wanted them to get a break from me. I think so much has been made of the Game 7 deal, and rightfully so. We addressed that last night as a team. You can ask everybody in the gym. I put it to bed last night. We talked about it, as we do every year after the tough loss, and just put it to bed. So I wouldn't.
Well,
so
according to Monty, basically he's saying that essentially he hasn't talked to a bunch of his guys on this team, that he wanted to give them a break from him, from the Game 7 stuff and just things that have to do with work in general, wanted to give them an off season. And I think the exact term he used was deep stuff in a one-on-one kind of situation with a lot of these guys, which I will say, okay, fair. I do understand needing to give guys some space. You need to collect your emotions, your thoughts, feel your feels before maybe you have a deep kind of conversation. Mm-hmm. However, it's clear that DeAndre Ayton feels some type of way about not having had a conversation with his head coach. Mm-hmm. And I think that's on Monty to read the room that, okay, this kind of guy doesn't need it. He's fine. He's moved on. But this guy over here needs the conversation. And that's on me to initiate and to bring that conversation forward and actually start it.
Bingo.
Absolutely. I think that's the biggest issue.
You got to know your people. You absolutely got to know your people. And you got to know what makes them tick. And clearly, DA is disgruntled about something, whether it be Game 7 or the way he was used last year or the contract negotiations or whatever. You've got to deal with that if you're Monty. You have to. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, listen, it might be all well and good until we hit the first snag in the season where they don't see eye to eye and DA's coming off the sideline and and those two get into it. Like, that could very well happen. Hell, that could happen Game 1 against the Mavericks. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So they better figure their shit out quick. Otherwise, it's going to be DA versus Monty. And if DA plays at a high level and shuns Monty, ooh, that's not good for Monty. I'll tell you that much right now.
It's not good for the whole organization, because you know that guys are going to take sides, and you know where Chris Paul's allegiance is probably going to lie. You know where Devin Booker's is going to lie. So if you have a prominent member of your team who cannot be traded until January 15th versus the two other stars on the team and your head coach, that is a disaster waiting to happen. This is something that needs to get nipped in the bud. Somebody in the chat said, KYP, know your personnel. That applies to your own players just as much. And Monty is here. He was brought here because of that aspect of his head coaching. Like, that's what he was touted as. So now to, you know, say that you address Game 7 as a team, you got to have that one-on-one conversation. You've got to see that he is upset. You see, so I hope someone shows him the clip and is like, yeah, you should probably talk to him.
Well, he'll know now based on the fact that you guys told him exactly what DA said. But
also in the chat,
Jose.
No, I was going to go with Jay. Go ahead.
Jose has been mentioning a few times that this comment specifically, why does Monty have to babysit? This ain't high school. Motivate yourself. Act professional. And I've seen that word act professional a couple times in our chat so far. I don't think this is unprofessional by DeAndre. He answered a question that was asked to him. Honestly, that's not unprofessional. That's just being truthful. And if we know anything about DA, it's that 99% of the time, he is very honest when people ask him questions,
that's
whether it's media or anything of that sort. It's also not unprofessional if he's just giving us a glimpse into what's actually happening. Like, could DA go to Monty and be like, we need to have a conversation? Sure. But Monty is the leader. Like, I get it's not high school, but it's still like, regardless of how old you are, if you're in any type of organization where there is a ladder of hierarchy, the person at the top is the one who typically would initiate that type of a conversation.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
He's the adult in the room. Like, there's the power structure there. There's the fact that he's the coach of this team. And he was brought in as a steward, as the sort of shepherd of all these youngsters. Like, it's his job to initiate that.
How about Monty act professional? How about that? Like, this is the example of the slant that people take on DA that I do not like. Like, you're sitting here saying that he's not being professional, but he's answering everything honestly. And what about the situations that, listen, he's been getting dogged out by half of the Suns fans and media since day one. And then you get to the season and he's doing everything he possibly can for the team, what they're asking him to do and the part of the system that they're working him in, everything basically centered around Chris Paul and Devin Booker and DA being that third piece when necessary. And he's done that. And last year he was supposed to get paid. Fuck, Chris Paul even said he's about to get the bag. Mm-hmm. Everybody thought he was going to get paid, doesn't get paid. You know what I mean? Like, did Monty have his back at that point? We don't know that. We have no idea. Mm-hmm. Then we move into the season. Everything moves along. And DA's being professional. He's not trying to throw anybody under the bus. He didn't get paid, but he was going to play no matter what. And then we get to the offseason. He still doesn't get paid. And he still doesn't get a contract until they're forced to have to give him a contract or lose him. Wouldn't you be a little disgruntled at this point? Like, if your employer just continually kicked the can down the road a million times until finally they were like, oh, shit, you know, you actually might leave. Here you go. Like, so in that regard, it's up to Monty to understand all those elements, put it all together, and have a one-on-one conversation with DA and get him to understand what that working relationship can be about and how they can move forward in the process. Otherwise, this is going to be a short-lived season for DA because he will be traded January 15th.
Yeah, it's not. I do think that, like, when you listen to DA talk the last 2 days, he's put a much heavier emphasis on, I've always approached this professionally. I've always done my work and put my work in the gym. And I think he's sick of people just not understanding the work that goes into his craft. The fact that he can be a bubbly personality and still take his job seriously. Because he's mentioned it at least several different times unprompted. So,
and Blue Gold makes a good point. Monty also accused DA of quitting in the middle of game 7.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, Jesus.
I just don't understand why there wasn't a conversation.
Why don't people like to talk to each other anymore?
Communicating.
Oh my God.
Gerald, get out.
This guy.
We need some levity. Everybody's so mad right now.
You know what, Gerald? We need a break. Okay? We need a break.
Oh my goodness. Listen, at the end of the day, time will tell. DA did say that he feels like he can show better than he can say, as far as when he was asked, if you did talk to Monty, what would you say? He just said, I feel like I can show what it needs to be shown more than I can say it. Mm-hmm. And it seems like he is taking everything that happened in the last year and putting it towards his game, which is a huge positive for all of us, for sure, and hopefully a positive for him and his team as well. Because he also said he has an organizational name on the front of his chest and his name on the back. He's not playing for himself. He's playing for this team.
Right. Everything else that he said was fantastic really and great. Not alarming at all. It was good things to hear. You know, when I'm between the lines, I'm focused on what I'm doing. I'm representing the name across my chest. Like, all that was fantastic to hear. It's just unfortunate. It comes day one of training camp that we're hearing that there's still a little bit of friction there, at least a little bit. It's not great.
I almost wonder if the Suns should have not let DA talk today and given him a few more days around the team, maybe an opportunity for the Monty and him to have a conversation, or I don't know, not putting any blame on them by any means.
Right.
I'm just wondering if maybe there was a few more days in between they could have had the talk, and then this was a non-starter.
Monty, we know you've had about 143 days, but we're going to give you 146 to make sure that everything's going to be okay with you and DA.
I was kind of surprised that they did give us DA for today.
I was too, because everyone was speculating Thursday is when we would probably hear from DA.
Right. I was glad that they were for sure.
Sarver's not going to be happy about that. Oh,
wait a minute.
Sorry.
It's fine. That's a happy joke at least.
But so that's kind of what happened there. As far as DeAndre Ayton and Monty had to go. We did talk to Dario, the homie. Dario Saric came through as well.
We did.
He was asked about DA, and I will say the one thing that Dario did say is that he thinks DA seems happy, and that Dario thinks DA is a great guy, a good teammate, and he's happy to have him as a teammate. So
there's
really
that.
Nice, kind things from Dario.
Look, I don't want people to worry that like DA is going to not act professionally or whatever because of the responses he's given, because I've seen that come up a few times. But like, I think DA has no problem with his teammates. And the way that we were talking about this yesterday, the way we saw him in the building at Media Day after the presser, the way he's been interacting with staffers and other teammates, it seemed normal. It's been DA. But like, so I'm not surprised to hear Sharts say that, like, yeah, he is taking a little bit more of a business approach than before. But that's because of the pressure that comes with being a number one pick, of the whole contract situation. Of, you know, he was saying after his finals appearance that he was kind of a different in his demeanor and how seriously he took that work. So it's good to hear Dario say that. But the issue here doesn't seem to be between DA and his teammates. It seems a little bit more above board.
I agree. Because everything we've seen, even on social media, what the Suns were sharing on their social media pages from Media Day yesterday, mm-hmm. it is very obvious that DA had a great time mm-hmm. when he wasn't talking to us.
Right, exactly.
Which says a lot. It does say a lot about how his attitude is with his teammates and behind the scenes. And maybe we're the problem. Maybe we're not the problem. I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
I'm not mad at Josh Hunt's comment. We got to set up a PHNX DA fan club section at the arena so he feels the love.
I wouldn't be mad at that.
I wouldn't be mad at that at all.
Yeah. DA also did share some photos from yesterday on his Twitter and his Instagram account with the caption, 5 in, but I'm 10 toes. To which I think we all are in agreement here. It's 5 in, obviously season 5, mm-hmm. 10 toes. 10 toes down essentially means like
I'm locked in.
Fully in.
I'm ready to go. Mm-hmm. Committed, devoted, all those things. So I'm excited to see DA play this year. I really am. I don't know if this is going to be extra motivation for him in addition to the money that he got, but I'm excited to see what happens.
I've been waiting for him to play fuck it ball for a while. Like, you know, if you don't know what that means like when all things are kind of going a million different places, you just say fuck it and take over. Like that's what I want to see from DA. Stop deferring to everybody else when you know you have a mismatch. Stop deferring to everybody else when you know you got the shot and you can take it. Like, I'm done him deferring to Chris Paul and Devin Booker. I think now you're in year 5. You should be able to prove yourself on the court. So I'm looking forward to that. Like, and he's not gonna go out of his character and try to do things that he's not capable of doing. He's still gonna keep everything in the flow of the offense, but I just think that we've seen so many times watching these games, so many opportunities for DA to be able to do more than he had been doing. And I think we're finally here where we know exactly what the ceiling for DeAndre Ayton is going to be. We're going to see that in this first month or two. And I hope it's going to be awesome. I really do.
I'm fascinated and low-key terrified to see how this situation plays out, because it's really pitting a coach and their playing style versus potentially DA. And I don't think it's fair to frame it that way. That maybe that's the wrong way to phrase it. But it is interesting because we were so excited to see what DA could add to his bag this year. If he could do more dribble stuff, more counters like James Jones talked about in the offseason. Like, that's what I wish we could be focusing on instead of, well, if DA goes out and starts dribbling around, is Monty going to get pissed? And are we going to have a sideline blow up in game 3? Like, which is fully on the table at this point. I have no idea how this is going to shake out. I hope that they're able to have that conversation, bury the hatchet, and this team actually look towards contending for a championship. But right now, it's hard to feel optimistic about anything. We got a player, a starter from last year, who's not even at training camp because he wants out. We've got a guy who is clearly unhappy with some aspect of where he is right now. Like, it's bad all around right now.
You know, I think tomorrow what we should do is we should have like a dress rehearsal for this DA fan club, like the section in the arena. Uh-huh. So here's what we'll do. We're going to be at Four Peaks, which means you should be at Four Peaks. And we could kind of like run through this, you know, make sure we've got our chants down. We'll brainstorm some t-shirt ideas. We'll pick the games that we can maybe go to.
Just a white t-shirt with the words DA on it. That's it. That's it. It's the most basic shit ever.
I like black t-shirts. Well, can we do black t-shirts with a white DA letter in instead?
Why not? Let's go crazy.
Okay, let's do that. Or maybe a purple and an orange one. One D, the D is purple, like, the A is orange.
Sure. DeAndre Nathan.
Hey, Nathan. That's two, Gerald. That's two.
So mad.
You have one more and then you're done.
And then you're kicked off the show. All right.
Well, let's do it. Let's have a dress rehearsal tomorrow at Four Peaks, because we will all be there for our last Monday or last Wednesday of the month. The entire PHNX crew will be out there. And we want you guys to come join us, because not only will we be having a lot of fun, you can also get $3 kilt lifter and wow pints when you mention that you're there with us.
It's Four Peak Fries, man.
Also, I was going to say, Saul told us yesterday that there is a new item. The chicken tenders are great, but apparently this is what we're all trying tomorrow, the Four Peaks fries.
Oh, we're not trying. We're devouring.
Yes.
I'm so excited for this. I cannot wait. Also, I'm really excited for Thursday. We're doing a haunted ghost tour at Four Peaks. Did you guys know that Four Peaks is haunted, the location, and in the month of October, they do ghost tours, and apparently it's a heck of a lot of fun, and I'm so excited for Thursday.
And the cool thing is we're selecting 10 members in our Discord tomorrow to join us on that ghost tour.
Are?
Oh, nice.
Yes.
That'll be fun.
This is going to be even better, so come join us, maybe on Wednesday and potentially on Thursday if you are one of those lucky members. Just a reminder, you do have to be 21 years or older to enjoy Four Peaks beer, and we ask that you enjoy responsibly.
I tell you guys about my weekend. Mm-mm. And how I absolutely demolished Johnny, Bo, and Shane in Underdog Fantasy this week.
No, did you?
Actually, it was week one, and they never invited me back. But either way,
because
I took all their money. And you can also take your friend's money if you just used Underdog map. It's really fun. We just did something like so every tailgate show, we try to just create a draft real quick. It takes less than 5 minutes, and then you have like a 7-person team that you follow for the rest of the day. You put $10 in, you win 40. It's pretty easy, pretty fun. So if you use promo code PHNX by downloading the app, then Underdog will match your deposit up to $100. They'll double it. So
we also put the link in our chat if you guys are here on
our
YouTube page.
It's everywhere. Yeah. It's everywhere. So yeah, PHNX, use that code.
Check it out.
Talk shit to your friends and take their money. It's fun.
I bet that's the best part for you.
Oh,
right?
It's absolutely the best part to tell them how trash they are at everything that they do.
Right. He had the names lined up. It was like this person, that person.
We're such a supportive crew over here, but not when it comes to Underdog Fantasy. Yep. That's for sure. Guess what?
I'm sorry. I demolished Emma at NBA Jam yesterday, too. So
you're just
keeping all the receipts.
You know, she's just handing out L's.
You know what happened, actually? Emma choked. She stole the ball with like 5 seconds left, and she was down by three, and she went all the way to the cup and dunked. And I was like, what are you doing, bro? So I inbounded the ball. Game was over. I was like, I won by one.
Trash. Yeah, I just hear Emma from behind the back. No.
No. Poor Emma.
Everybody get the mails here.
Poor Emma did something new for Lindsay.
What's that?
Oh, boy.
Oh, we know
guess what time it is, everybody.
What time is it?
Train Machine Tuesday. Train Machine Tuesday. I think I like this baby better.
Baby's got good rhythm for the song, I think.
It's
well in tune, well choreographed.
I was shit on last time for the baby not being in tune by you, Gerald.
I know. So that's why I made amends and pointed it out this time.
I thought my first Trade Machine Tuesday officially as your producer, I would up it up for Gerald.
There we go.
We haven't done a Trade Machine Tuesday in quite a while because I think things kind of just cooled off a little bit. But with the news that Jay Crowder is out. Mm-hmm. And looking for a new home, figured why not bring it back one more time, at least before the season fully tips off. Gerald wrote a very in-depth article over at gophnx.com with even more potential trade options than what we're going to talk about here on the show. So if you would like to read that and dive into all of that, again, gophnx.com. But for today, we're going to take a look at 6 potential trade options to move Jay Crowder and bring in someone of substance, because we obviously don't want to give Jay away for free just because he doesn't want to be here anymore.
Right.
Sorry. So he said, Lindsay, do that dance on stream. Yeah. And now I'm imagining Lindsay doing that dance on stream and I'm laughing my ass off.
Connor, that's a hard pass, sir. Absolutely not.
So in my defense, I wrote this article on Friday night after Jay Crowder's tweet. So this was before we got the news that he would in fact be skipping training camp, and they were working on finding a trade, which kind of lowers their leverage here in trade talks if everybody knows that he wants out and that he's not going to play until he's somewhere else. So that could affect some of these proposals, but these are just kind of spitballing ideas of actually getting value back for the Suns if they are forced to trade Jay Crowder, because he does still have value. Like, he was a starter on a 64-win team. He's a 3-and-D guy, lots of playoff experience, good locker room guy, unless you piss him off, apparently.
It's going to be great for the Kings.
Yeah, so we'll start with the first one here. We've got a Philadelphia 76ers trade. The Suns get DeAnthony Melton and Jaden Springer to match salaries, and the Sixers receive Jay Crowder. The Sixers are a contender. They're a team that would be interested in Crowder. I think PJ Tucker's coming off a knee surgery for them, so it would make sense to have a little bit of insurance there. But your guys' thoughts on this kind of
stuff? I love me some DeAnthony Melton. Loved him when he was here. I feel like he kind of took off a little bit more when he left the Suns, when he was with the Grizzlies. I think now that he's got more experience under his belt, he does help us out in a sense as far as that backup guard that we've been talking about a little bit, because he did play that role for the Suns when he was here originally. I'm not mad at it.
I don't want it.
You don't want it?
I don't want it. I don't want anything to do with
get
it.
Get this corn out
DeAnthony
of my face.
Melton's good. He's good. Mm-hmm. He's a solid player, but it's just, if you're going to trade Jay Crowder, I want something that I know I can count on. DeAnthony Melton, he's a good player. Not to the level Jay Crowder is, in my opinion, and I want something equal.
Okay, but do you honestly think we're going to get something equal or more for Jay Crowder?
We're playing in dreamland right now, Lindsay. I can say if I don't like something right now.
I didn't know we were. I thought we were being a little more realistic since it's legitimately happening now.
We're trying.
There's other ones that I like more.
Okay. Which is fair. And I think DeAnthony Melton wouldn't really address what they're losing in terms of depth at the four. Obviously, he's a guard. He's more of an off guard. He can play with the ball in his hands a little bit, but that's not his best attribute. He's a really good defender. Between Melton, Mikhail Bridges, Josh Okogie, like if you need a stop late in a game,
that's a death.
The other team's right fucked. Like there's no way they're scoring on that group. And he did improve as a shooter during his time.
I'm kidding.
I do think his improvement as a shooter has been really impressive. He shot 41% from three a year prior and 37% last year, double digit score for the Grizzlies. And that was a good Grizzlies team. So he's a good bench guy that you could plug in at the one, the two, maybe even the three because of his defense. But yeah, my thing is the Sixers might not be interested in trading a guy they just traded for over the summer, even if all they gave up was Danny Green, who was coming off an ACL tear. So I don't know. It's a little dicey if the Sixers would even be interested in giving up Melton. They might push for maybe giving up Matisse Thybulle or something like that.
Cool.
All right. Next up, the Suns get Caris LeVert and the Cavs get Jay Crowder, Landry Shamet, and a protected 2023 first round pick.
Saul's laughing. He has thoughts.
Oh boy. What's up, Saul?
Listen, I don't care. I don't think Caris LeVert is worth all that. But god damn, you threw in Landry Shamet. How can I say no? You gotta do it. Fucking do it yesterday. Yeah, give him three first rounders. I don't give a shit. Let's go.
Oh god. Just even the mention of Landry Shamet makes him laugh.
That's such a turn.
I hope he never watches this show ever.
Oh man, we're never mention of him.
Saul just starts laughing.
No, if we have him on the show, I will kindly excuse myself because
you better.
I don't want to put you guys in that situation. Listen, Landry's—he tries. That's cool.
Landry did say some things yesterday too that he has seen the conversations around his play.
I know. I quote tweeted and said,
and
"At me, bro."
He's working really hard to be a better player, and that he thinks he has more to give than what he showed last year.
Good. I'm glad he feels that way. And if he turns it around this season, then I'm cool. I will change my tune. But what I saw in 2021-22 was not good at all. Right. And
he's acutely aware. He was saying, I'm my harshest critic. I've seen it. I agree with it. I respect all the criticism that I've gotten. He did also bring up the fact that last year he got in touch with his father for the first time and met his father's family, who his father had three other kids. So he has three new siblings. And so he was kind of dealing with the emotional complexity of that kind of situation last year. Ooh. And I think that sort of thing can weigh on your mental a little bit. So he said he's in a much better place now. He spent the summer hanging out with his new family and getting to know them and kind of mending those bridges. So I do think we might see a different Landry Shamet this year just from that mental aspect alone. But getting back to the actual trade that we brought up here, LeVert does have injury concerns. That's obvious. But he was pretty close to being a two-way stud like a year or two ago before the injuries really started keeping him down. He was borderline 20 points per game scorer. He's a guy that you could trust if you, you know, if campaign isn't cutting it. Like, he could play multiple positions, really good defender, not a great three-point shooter, but he can create some of his own offense.
LeHurt. Yes.
LeHurt. Yeah, yes. He is a little bit. I'll give you that.
He is a little bit.
Like, I'll give you that. Like, in the article, every single one of these trades comes with some caveat. God. You're not going to get the perfect deal, especially Gilbert. With a guy like that.
Gilbert, stop. What do you want me?
Not the Fresh Prince. Not the Fresh Prince.
You guys.
Oh, shit. Oh, that was a good one. That was a good one.
Oh, man.
I hope Landry turns it around this year. I really do. Hopefully, you know, the new siblings asking for tickets every game doesn't distract him this season. So, hopefully he turns it around and everything's all good. That's the best case scenario for the Suns. But obviously, like, I don't have high hopes on that.
So you're not a fan of the LeVert trade?
No. I do like LeVert, but I don't like him that much.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's move right on along. In this trade scenario, the Phoenix Suns will get Dorian Finney-Smith and the Mavs get Jay Crowder. Now, the biggest question here is, well, if this were to come to fruition, would it feel gross?
No. The Mavs would never do that.
Not for the Suns. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think you would have to attach a first round pick in this to get the Mavs to bite. I don't think 2 seconds is cutting it because Dorian Finney-Smith is a younger player. He's under team control for the next 4 years at a very nice price at like $11, $12 million a season. He shot more consistently than Jay the last few seasons. He's kind of a better player at this point. He doesn't have as much playoff experience and a reputation that a Jay Crowder has.
Clearly, that didn't matter against the Suns last year.
Right, but this would have to be the Mavs totally blind, like tunnel vision on a guy that they used to have and that they liked in their locker room. Like I wouldn't see this happening unless there is a first round pick attached.
Yeah. And would that make it feel gross if you add in some picks and know that you're helping the Mavs?
In some
sort of a way.
No, because
you're getting better too, but in some sort of the way you're helping
them. I mean, at the end of the day, you got to ask yourself, did you improve? Are you a better team? And can you beat the Mavs this year? And I think with this scenario, they would say yes.
In terms of one-on-one replacements for kind of the things that Jay does, I don't think you can do better than the improvement that you would do going from Jay Crowder to Dorian Finney-Smith. I really don't. Like, he shot 39, 37% from three over the last 3 years. He's been about the same in rebounding as Jay, and he's a good defender too. So, like, and he scored more than Jay the last 3 seasons. So I think that's something to bear in mind. But again, it's tough to picture teams that just played each other in the playoffs last year coming to an agreement on a trade.
All right, so we have three more to get into, but first, did you guys hear that OG's launched their brand new Sleep Edition gummy?
I did not.
Yep.
And it's in the aquaberry flavor, which is mighty tasty. So this gummy is pretty cool because when you have a hard time falling asleep or you just have had a week or a weekend where you haven't gotten really good sleep, these gummies come in so clutch because they're a 2-to-1 THC-CBN ratio gummy. And CBN is a compound that helps specifically with falling and staying asleep, which is big time. Big, big, big time, because we all know how much I care about my sleep. And I also care about all of your guys' sleep as well.
Do they have an edible that makes you sleep as long as you do?
I'm sure these would help you with that. That's what I'm saying. So, like, I need you to get on my level so that you're so refreshed, you're ready to go, you got all the energy. Mm. And then I need one so that I can double my sleep and come in refreshed with all the energy. But if you guys haven't checked them out, we highly recommend you go take a look at OG's online at ogsbrands.com to get all the information about these brand new Sleep Edition gummies. You can also find them on Instagram at ogsbrands, and you can find their products at your local dispensary. But just a reminder, you do have to be 21 years or older to purchase. Okay, next up. Mm-hmm. The Phoenix Suns get Jordan Clarkson and Jared Vanderbilt. The Jazz get Jay Crowder, Dario Saric, and a 2023 first round top five protected pick. What say you?
You go first, Gerald.
Sure. I mean, I've been on the record as saying I don't think Jordan Clarkson is the people that Suns fans think he is. He makes really bad decisions. He's not an efficient shooter, but he can create his own offense. And I get wanting to have an alternative if campaign plays like he did last year. So it would be one of those situations where you kind of live by his shot selection, die by his shot selection when he's in there. But I do like Jared Vanderbilt if they could find a way to bring him aboard. They apparently tried to with the Bojan Bogdanovic trade, but couldn't get that done. Yeah, I do think you're going to have to give up a first round pick if you're getting both Clarkson and Vanderbilt, and Ainge might want two, at which case I say it's not worth it. But yeah, I think this is a decent trade. It's one that keeps coming up because the Jazz are going to be looking to sell. So it makes sense on paper for both teams.
I like Jared Vanderbilt a lot, and I think he's the one that makes this trade.
Yeah.
So I actually like this trade, and I think I would go for it. Yeah, Jordan Clarkson isn't the most ideal guy. But again, when Clarkson is rolling, he's one of the better guards in the league. Like he can get his shot off, he can shoot very well. It's just, you know, the turnovers and all the other things that go along with it. So I like this trade.
Gerald Dett in the chat said, "Take Saric and Clarkson out of that deal, and I'm good. Jay and a pick for Vanderbilt. Does the math on that work?"
I don't think it does just by itself, because Vanderbilt makes like $4.5 million, and Jay is out. About 10.2, so I think you'd have to make some math work a little bit there. Yeah, I would have to look into the Jazz's salary there to figure out how that would work.
Wait, but to your point, Saul, Vanderbilt's the one that moves the needle here, mm-hmm. and Jordan Clarkson is kind of like added value, I guess you could say. Yeah, and since we haven't really done a whole lot to fortify the bench, it's not the worst thing we could do.
And like Josh Hunt said, just tell Clarkson he's playing against the Suns every game and he'll go off. It's true. He has his best games against the Suns.
This one has a really mixed bag of emotions from the chat. There are some people who are like, this is the one. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. And there are people who are like, hard pass, absolutely not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this one's got the most...
That's how you know it's an interesting trade proposal.
Dragoon said we had better shoot 90% from three this year because we ain't getting any rebounds. True. Well,
Vanderbilt would help with that. He would average about 8 a game last year.
K1, I am still on the Harrison Barnes trade.
Mm-hmm. And that was the trade that was in the article, but since we've talked about him so many times before, we decided to
highlight a few other ones.
Yeah. We talked about him so many times because that is the deal.
It would be a good deal.
I love me some Harrison
Barnes. This one cracked me up when I was reading your article, Gerald, because the very first thing you said after proposing this trade was ... But I'm not mad at it at all. Okay, so in this one, the Suns get Kelly Oubre Jr.
The
Suns get Kelly Oubre Jr. and the Hornets get Jay Crowder.
Mm-hmm.
So, Gerald, explain the look,
Look, Jay Crowder wants to start somewhere. He would probably start in Charlotte with everything that's going on with Miles Bridges, and because he'd be replacing Oubre, and he would be on a playoff-ish caliber team. Kelly Oubre would be coming back to the Valley after a few humbling years on other teams, learning, okay, maybe I'm not that guy. I come off the bench for a Hornets team that didn't even make the playoffs. But now I get to be on a Suns team that's a contender, be back with Monty, back in the Valley, and embrace the love that the fans showed him here. And the Suns do need a little athleticism. They're not an athletic team. They need somebody that can get to the rim. And as much as his tunnel vision can be aggravating at times, he did get to the rim, and he was a good slasher. So it's not perfect, but this is one of those trades that, like, if there's not a lot else out there, this is not terrible return for a guy who has publicly requested his way out.
We have also talked about when you lose Jay, you lose some of that edginess, some of that spunk that the team often needs in just certain times throughout the game. You just need somebody to put a little spark of energy into you. Kelly can bring that to this team and to the crowd. So...
No.
I'm not mad at it.
Absolutely.
I'm not mad at it.
Fucking not.
No.
No way. There's just no way. Dude, listen. It took 2 years for Jay and CP3 to have a disagreement on the court. That shit would happen in game two. Like, CP3 would tell Kelly Oubre, "No, bro, that's not what we're doing here." And Kelly would just be like, "Nah, I don't hear you." Shot, shot, shot. Like, would not care. Like, no, this is the worst idea. This is the worst trade on the whole list.
You don't think years that Gerald just pointed out would have changed anything?
No, because he's coming back here, and he knows he has a legion of fans that follow him blindly and love him and his swag. And his swag don't mean shit to me because it doesn't give me wins. So, no. Hell no. I love Tsunami Poppy. I love Kelly Oubre as a person, but not on the Suns. I don't like it. Not even a little bit.
Somebody mentioned in the chat, I can't find it right now. Oh, Aaron, he said Oubre debuts the Valley jersey and just missed out wearing it. If that happens.
It'd be sad.
Could you like?
You guys get sad about the wrong things.
We got Kelly Oubre trades bookending the Valley jersey era. That'd be kind of funny.
It's just an added thing to. Like, it's just interesting how that would have worked out if this trade was something.
I mean,
that actually
like, listen, like at peak Suns, right? Kelly Oubre would have been a terrible fit. Okay. He goes to the Warriors, and the Warriors were in a decline at the moment, right? But you're talking about one of the best organizations anywhere in all of sports, right? And you have some of the greatest players on that franchise. And Kelly Oubre still couldn't find a way to be a part of that. Like, holy shit, Andrew Wiggins resurged over there. What? No. Kelly Oubre, stay in Charlotte. I'd rather stash Jay in the Transformation Center for life until we find a suitable replacement.
Look, all I'll say is there are two eyes in championship, and they're Kelly Oubre's. No.
Oh, my God.
That's not the third as far as the DA puns, but I think that's the
third
one. I think
I've reached my limit.
That's the third one, Gerald.
Across the line.
All right, and finally, we've got Julius Randle. So the Suns get Julius Randle, the Knicks get Jay Crowder, Dario Saric, and a 2023 first round pick.
This is the one that excites me the most, but okay. I'm still like, how would that really fit? Because Julius Randle is, I don't know how him and DA would work together. That's the thing. I can't see how those two really are ideal. But in terms of like getting the fan base involved and excited about a potential player, you're talking about an all-star level player. Obviously, I think Julius Randle is that guy, but he had an off year last year after having a phenomenal year the year before. Didn't play up to those standards. He didn't meet the hype. I wonder, and listen, the Knicks are already talking about possibly getting rid of him. So I don't know.
I totally get that. I think he was miscast because of that really good year that he had, not last year, but the year before, where he like led the Knicks to the playoffs and everybody was like, oh, this is him. And then in the playoffs, he really wasn't him at all. I think people miscast him as like he's the number one on a team. Like, he shouldn't be the number two on a really good team. But he still did put up 20-10-5.
Also, like, Elfrid Payton led them to the playoffs that year, too. So
stop it. Stop it. But, like, he still put up 20-10-5. He would help on the rebounding front. My big question is kind of similar to yours. How does he fit with DA? Because the year before, he shot 41% from three, could space the floor. Last year, that fell more than 10 percentage points to 31%. Like, if he can't shoot the three, the spacing there is off, and you're relying on DA to space the floor, which that's just not what he's best at. He's best attacking the rim, attacking the basket, using his efficiency around the rim. So
he suffers from the same black holeness as Kelly Oubre.
Yes, he does. He can be a black hole as far as just putting his head down and barreling in, because that's kind of what he's best at. So the spacing there wouldn't be ideal, but he is an interesting kind of buy low candidate right now, because it feels like his trade value is a lot lower than it was a year ago.
A lot of people in the chat had mentioned they would be concerned about the type of person he is in the locker room. Is that, do you guys have any concern about that?
I've never heard anything negative about him in the locker room, but I don't know. Have you?
I know he can be a little bit of a prick, have a prickly demeanor. And I think Derek Rose was saying something at Media Day that like the top guy through the bottom needs to be open to criticism. And people were kind of taking that as a shot at him and not being open to constructive criticism or coverages, whatever. So it's possible, and that's a valid concern. Like I said, none of these trades are going to be perfect because the Suns are not in optimum dealing position here, but it is something to think about, because even with all those concerns, he's a really talented player, and rebounding is one of the biggest concerns for this group this year.
Well, let me tell you guys about the DraftKings Sportsbook app before we get into our final question of the show. Because new customers right now can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. I know the DraftKings Sportsbook app basically wants to give you free money. You just have to join the funness over here and take all that free money, because they also have stepped up their same game parlay. So right now, for every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100%. We've got bigger payouts than ever, so why not join the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now and make watching sports even more fun? It's very simple. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Make sure you use that promo code PHNX. Again, that's promo code PHNX on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Saul, do you have a pick of the week that will get us some money?
The best wide receiving core in the National Football League, Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. They're the underdogs against the Cincinnati Bengals tomorrow or on Thursday night.
Really?
So, yeah, you can take the Dolphins and win yourself a lot of cash at plus 170. That's the pick. That's the money line. Do it. It's simple. It's easy. The Bengals are frauds and the Dolphins will win.
Plus 170 is pretty good.
Yeah.
That's not a terrible bet to
me. Not bad at all.
I like that.
They're 4.5-point underdogs, and I don't understand why.
Really?
Because all the Bengals did was beat the measly Jets.
Right.
Who cares about the Jets? Nobody. New York sucks.
Sorry, Cam Johnson. Your Bengals team is not the pick this week.
No, yeah. Don't ever pick the Bengals.
That's your DraftKings pick of the week. We wish you all the luck and hope you win a bunch of money. Okay, the last thing I wanted to ask you guys, because I've seen a lot of people talking about this in the last handful of days since this Jay Crowder news came out. In your mind, is there any scenario where we sit on Jay for a month or two into the season, maybe that December 15th timeframe, or even come February at the trade deadline? Is there any scenario in your mind where the Suns just hold on to Jay until something better comes along?
I mean, I'm sure it's possible, but if they're doing it just to wait for the right deal, like, they've got to make a move. They can't go into the season with Cam Johnson as the four and who's going to back him up? Dario at the, like, Dario's best as a small ball five. I don't see that being a healthy, like, there's enough shit going on right now with the, we were just talking about DA and Monty all day today. Like, you don't want that situation to fester or linger or hang overhead. You need to get a return for a useful starter now so that you can spend the season getting them accustomed to your teammates and get on track to, like, win a title. You need to do it as soon as you can.
Fuck them. Like, stick them in the deep freeze and don't pull them out until, like, if you could do the, what is it? What was the chamber that they put Han Solo in?
Oh, carbonite.
Carbonite. If you could put his ass in carbonite and stick his ass in the, in the front where people walk by him, like, I'd do that tomorrow. Like, I'm not making a trade because Jay Crowder is being salty and doesn't like the water at Gila River. Like, I'm not doing that. Like, he's going to stay there until I find the right deal for this franchise, and then we move on. That's how it's going to go. I was talking about the pool, by the way, not the actual water at Gila River. So, because he does those pool parties and shit.
Yeah.
Does it hurt? Because I know most people have said that. Sure, the trade value for Jay right now, because we already know 100% he's going to be moved, could be diminished a little bit. Does sitting on him diminish it even more?
I'm sure it does, but that's the level of petty I'm willing to go if I'm James Jones. Like, you try to take this into your own hands. I can't really get a good, solid deal back in return for you because everybody's trying to lowball me. So fuck it. I'm just going to wait. I'm just going to wait and wait and wait and wait. And if it never comes to fruition, so be it. But I making a trade just to make a trade doesn't do anything for the Suns either. They need somebody that's going to contribute, and I don't know if they're going to get that right now.
I get that, but I do think if you're sitting on him just to be petty or just because you're like, oh, this deal's okay, but it's not the perfect deal, like, you're hurting the team because they don't have a viable backup at the four right now. Like,
yeah, but training for DeAnthony Melton isn't going to do that either.
No, it's not, but at least it gives you time to, like, recalculate, get rid of one problem. This team has too many problems hanging overhead already. Like, and you know, Jay Crowder, the longer he sits, the more those Twitter fingers are going to fire off in all caps. Like,
yeah.
Let him do it. It's entertaining.
I mean, I'm entertained, but it's not going to help them in a trade. That's for sure.
This is true.
Philip, I think Han Solo was blind after carbonite lowers the trade value.
Oh, no.
He still had trade value. Boba still gave him the Jabba and got a nice payday. Yeah. So
his site came back too, by the way.
Thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate you as always. Just a reminder, well, not even a reminder. This is the first time I'm telling you this. We went live at 3 p.m. today because of training camp. We want to make sure that we're able to talk with all the players and coaches before we come and have this show so that we can share the latest news and information with you guys. So for the remainder of this week, just be a little bit flexible with us.
Not tomorrow, though. We will be at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow will 100%
we don't have a choice.
Whether I will be there or not.
Because we're
going to
be at Four Peaks again. So again, if you want to come hang out with us. But, you know, Thursday, Friday, if things have to be a little bit flexible because of training camp again, just bear with us. We'll put it in the Discord. We'll tweet it out. So just keep an eye out for all of that stuff. Our Twitter is PHNX_Suns. If you're not following already, you should definitely be doing that. Mm-hmm. But again, thank you for being here. We appreciate you. Don't forget to hit that like button on your way out. And if you're listening to this on audio, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review because it helps us out a lot. Until we see you tomorrow, you can follow me on Twitter at LindsaySmithAZ. You can follow Saul at Saul_Bookman. And you can follow Gerald at Gerald Bourget. I was going to say, Gerald, take us home, but Saul looks like he's ready for something.
Oh, no, I was going to, Gerald.
I can take us home. Just remember, you can show or you can tell, but it's good if you do at least one of those two things.
Hey, yo, my lifestyle is retro. Tell the Phoenix Metro. Megas in control and he ain't never going to let go. PHNX, though. Lindsay, Gerald, Espo. Saul, pass the ball. We here to turn up the tempo. Got to understand me. I'll always rep the family. Rally in the valley like Dan G. No plan B. Always on the job. My team move like the mob. Turn the beat on.